Today's share and every share throughout the summer is sponsored by friends of Ben and Yael England or Luskosur for Shleva for Zachariah Kalman Ben Yael Margalit. Last night we started the sugya of Gevinas Akum. I said I was going to finish tonight, but I just got caught up in this Tosos. I was having a lot of fun with it, so we'll see if we actually do finish tonight. Probably not is my guess right now. But let's just quickly review some basics. We said last night that the Gemara struggled a lot to try to find what the reason is that Chazal made an Isser of Gevinas Akum. The Gemara came up with six potential reasons for the Isser of Gevinas Akum. That's at least the Pashup Shad of the Gemara, that there are six distinct potential reasons for Gevinas Akum. The Tur doesn't quote reasons number 1, 5, and 6. What do reasons number 1, 5, and 6 have in common that the Torah doesn't quote them? So 5 and 6 are clearly rejected by the Gemara, so that's clear why the Torah doesn't quote it. Number 1 is also seems to be rejected by the Gemara a little bit. The Gemara at least asks a kasha on it that it doesn't answer. So it could be that reason number 1 is therefore outvoted as well. But what is reason number 1? So reason number 1 was the issue of Nikur, which is that the concern was that a snake somehow got a hold of the cheese and he put some venom in the cheese and therefore it's going to be dangerous. So because of the chashash of Giloy, which is Nikur, what the Gemara calls Nikur, but what we call Giloy, that's why Gvinas Akum is Asr. What was the Gemara's kasha on that? So it's a difficult back and forth in the Gemara. It's a little bit of a difficult shaklavatario because it's not abundantly clear that the Gemara is rejecting it with its kasha. What's the Gemara's kasha? If it's a problem of Giloy, then what? Then every cheese that is Yashan or every cheese that is Yavesh should be Mutter. Because if there in fact was venom in the cheese, then it would never be able to dry out, nor would it be able to, or the venom wouldn't stay there if it were dried out. The venom would remain moist. It's not possible that the cheese would dry out and the venom would stay there, nor would it be able to age properly if the venom was there. So it can't be a problem of venom, because if it were a problem of venom, then the old aged cheese and cheese that's dried out would be mutter. So how do you understand that? Is the Gemara therefore saying, and therefore we reject this reason? This reason has to be wrong, because we know aged cheese is usser and dried out cheese is usser also, and therefore this reason must be wrong? Or no, maybe what the Gemara is saying is that in a chinami, according to this reason, if you're going to accept that the reason is because of Giloy, because we're afraid of the venom, then what would turn out la halacha is that aged cheese and dry cheese is taka mutter, but regular cheese is aser. So both are apparently viable ways to understand the Gemara. Yeah?
When is the venom getting into the cheese?
Pashup Shad, it's at the milk stage before it turns into cheese, because that's snakes, we assume, can do that kind of thing to liquids, but not to solids. So Pashup Shad's at the milk stage. Good, so that was answer number one. We then gave answer, what we called answer number two, which is Rabbi Chanina in the Gemara, which is the second to last skinny line in Lamed Hayam Aleph, who says, because it's E.F. Shalab Lo Tzich Suchi Chalav, why is Gvina Sakum Asr? Because there's got to be some milk in there. Even though it's mostly dried up and curdled and turned into cheese, there are liquid pockets, and in those liquid pockets there's milk. What kind of milk? Rashi says, we're choshesh, it might be pig milk, it might be chalav tameh, it might be chalav from a non-kosher animal. That's what we're choshesh for. And then we had reason number three, which is Shmuel Ma'amidin also bar kevas nevela. And reason number four, which is Rav Adbarav, machlikin panel b'shumul chazir, that they shine it up with chazir shmelts. Now, reason number four is the least interesting. We're leaving 5 and 6 out, because that was clearly rejected by the Gemara. Reason number four is the least interesting in terms of it sounds interesting, but it's least interesting in terms of halacha, in terms of what there is to discuss about it. There's not much to talk about it. If they put chazer shmaltz on it, so you understand that that's a problem. If they put chazer shmaltz on it, it wouldn't be usher before they're actually shining up the cheese. The more interesting ones are reasons number 1, 2, and 3. So that's, yesterday we spent some time focusing on reason number three. So we weren't really going in order. We spent some time focusing on this idea of mamidinosa ba'or kevas nevela, the assumption that they're going to use the rennet of an of flesh of an animal's stomach in order to curdle the cheese. And we said that's a problem because the animal is a nevela, and therefore the cheese is all going to be asr mishum nevela. So we dealt with the questions, well, why isn't the rennet batel b'shishim? We dealt with the question, even if it wasn't nevela, shouldn't it be asr anyway because of basr b'chalav? And we discussed the entire concept of maimed. That's what the focus was yesterday. What I want to focus on today is reason number two. E efshala b'lo tzuchei chalav. What exactly does that mean? That it's impossible that when you have gvina sakum, that there's not going to be some pockets of liquid, some pockets of milk in the gvina, in the cheese, and therefore the gvina sakum is asur. That's what motivated Chazal to asur gvina sakum. By way of introduction, though, to that discussion, I want to read you two passages in the Ramah, in Simen Kuf Tes Vav, and point out what seems like a stira in the Ramah, and to try to figure out, as we go through this Gemara, how perhaps we can answer this stira in the Ramah. This is a little backwards. Normally the way we like to work is we start with the Gemara, go through the Rishonim, and then see how the then play it out in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Let's work a little backwards today. We'll start with the Ramah, and then figuring out how the Rishonim read the Gemara, we'll try to see how the Ramah read the Rishonim. Right, what the Ramah did with those Rishonim, which Rishonim he was actually paskening like. The Ramah in Simen Kuf Tes Vav Si'if Aleph, and again, Si'if Aleph was the Si'if about Chalav Akum, it was not the Si'if about Gvina Sakum. The Ramah writes, Chalav Shel Ovid Kochavim Shen Ne'esra, if you have Chalav of a non-Jew, that's already Aser, Eino Moil Im Yasu Achar Kach Gvina Sochema Mimena. It doesn't help to then make cheese or butter out of it. Even though cheese or butter can only be made out of cow milk, cannot be made out of pig milk, it doesn't help to later make cheese or butter out of it and thereby prove that it's not pig milk. Rather, it remains usher. And anything that you make from it is also going to remain usher. That is the Ramah in Sif Aleph. Says the Ramah in Sif Beis. Now Sif Beis is the Sif about Kvina Sakum. Again, in the same simon in Kuf Tes Vav, says the Ramah, the imra'a asiyas ha-gvinos, v'lo ra'a ha-chaliva. If a Jew saw the cheese making, but he didn't see the milking of the cows, so wait a second, what do you expect the Ramah to say now? The Ramah just told us in Sif Aleph that once there's chalav akum, making cheese doesn't fix it. Even if a Jew turns it into cheese, doesn't fix it. It's still going to be asr mishum chalavakum. So you expect the Ramah to say, if a Jew sees a guy making the cheese, but he didn't see the chaliva, he didn't see the milking, the Ramah should say, asr, right? That's what you expect. Says the Ramah, yeshal hatir b'di'aved. We could be matir b'di'aved. Why? We don't have to worry that there's a davar tamei in there because you're making cheese out of it. Ki davar tamei eino omed, because the davar tamei isn't omed, it doesn't curdle. So pig milk doesn't curdle. So you have nothing to worry about. If you see the cheese making, so it's got to be that there's no davar tamei in there whatsoever. So that's the stira in the Ramah, the seeming stira in the Ramah. So put that aside for a second. Now let's read through our Gemara. So the Gemara says, what's the concern of Chalavakum? So the Gemara started by saying it's because of Nikur, because of the venom that's going to be put in the milk supply. And then the Gemara says, no, because then the old stuff and the dry stuff should be mutter. So the Gemara says, Amar v'chenil v'ishi efshar b'lo tzichtzuchei chalav. That it's impossible without tzichtzuche chalav. What does Rashi understand? What does that mean? Iafshar below tzichtzuche chalav. Rashi says that means that there's got to be some non-kosher milk. Rashi, Dibra Maskul Lefi, on Laman Hamad Aleph, it means that there's got to be some non-kosher milk pockets in your cheese. Now, take that Rashi, and now let's read the Gemara on Daf Laman Hamad Beis that we read last week. The Gemara on Daf Laman Hamad Beis is discussing the problem not of Gvina Sakum, but of Chalav Akum. And the Gemara says, well, when is Chalav Akum going to be a problem? Is Chalav Akum going to be a problem if you buy it for cheese making? Well, if you make cheese out of it, doesn't that prove that there's no pig milk in it because you were able to make cheese out of it? So the Gemara says, okay, it must be that you're not buying it for cheese making. You're buying the milk for something else, for eating, for using as ingredients in other types of food, for your pastas or whatever else. You're buying the milk for something else. And that's why you have to be choshesh that the milk that you buy is contaminated with pig milk. That's answer number one of the Gemara. Then says the Gemara, Lamed Hayam Beis, V'iba Yaseima, Afilu Temet Kabayla L'Gvina, Ika Dekai Beni Atfi. Even if you say that you are buying it for the purpose of cheese, still there's a chashash of chalav tamei, because chalav tamei might be caught in the cracks of the cheese. Now, putting two and two together, we have, just a second, we have six opinions of why gvina sakum is a problem. Only one of those opinions said because there are pockets of milk where there might be treif milk in the cheese. The other five opinions apparently aren't concerned about that. They think that there are other issues. On Amud Beis, we have two opinions as to when Chalav Akum is a problem. One of them says Chalav Akum is a problem only when you're not going to make cheese out of it, because if you make cheese out of it, I'm not worried about any pockets of milk. And the other opinion says, I am worried about pockets of milk. So just putting two and two together, Rabbi Chanina on Amud Aleph, who's worried about pockets of milk and cheese, can go like the Iba Yaseima on Amud Beis. But the other five Shitos who aren't worried about pockets of milk and cheese can only fit the first day on Amud Beis and not the second day on Amud Beis. The first day on Amud Beis says that Chalav Akum is only a problem when you're not going to make cheese out of it. If you're going to make cheese out of it, Chalav Akum Mimela is not a problem because it curdled, so it's obviously cow milk. So it's not going to be a problem. And obviously is not concerned about pockets of milk. That hashva'a, I'll get to the question in a second, I just want to finish saying one thing. That hashva'a, that equation that we have between Rabbi Chanina versus everybody else on Amud Aleph, and the two Deos on Amud Beis, Legabe Chalav, is not my own, that's the Gra. The Bira Gra, on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, and Sif Katan Yud Zayin, in Kuf Tezvav, makes that equation. And then he takes it one step further. There is a machlokas rishonim whether chema, butter, of a guy is asur or not. So says the Gra, as follows. If you hold like the first teretz, then you're going to hold that we're not chosh, that as long as it was able to turn into cheese, or butter for that matter, you're not worried about pockets. There are no pockets. As soon as it's able to turn into butter or cheese, then mela, it's mutter. You know for sure that it's cow milk. And that's the shita that holds chemas akum is mutter. That butter from a guy is mutter. If you hold like the second teretz of the Gemara in Lamed Hayam Beis, that we are worried about pockets of milk in your cheese, which means you hold like Rabbi Chanina and Amar Aleph, that's the whole problem, the gvinas akum, is the pockets of milk that are inside the gvina, well, then you're going to hold that if you buy butter from a guy, it's also usher. Because just like you have to be worried about the pockets in the cheese, you have to be worried about the pockets of milk, of perhaps treif milk, in the butter. And that's how the Gra says. So you have three separate machlokesim. The Gra says they all line up. They all line up perfectly. Questions before we go on?
Put into the riff for Rosh's Gersen at all.
Right.
He's just ignoring that.
Yeah, based on our Gersen in the Gemara. Correct.
There's pockets in butter.
If there's pockets in cheese, there are pockets in butter. You ever see pockets in cheese? I don't know.
You know what cheese looks like. Butter, I've never seen like the whole, like the cheesy, like the holes, like the holy cheese. You know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But butter,
I don't know.
You don't see it.
Yeah.
And didn't we say last night that the six opinions might not be disagreeing with each other?
They're all yes, six the Gra's assuming that they are. Correct. Good. So that is... that's the Gra. So far, all I said over is the Gra. Now, what comes out from Rashi is that according to Rabbi Chanina, that there were gozer on Gvina and on Chalav, all because of a concern that there might be treif milk in the Gvina, and there might be treif milk in the Chalav. That's the whole reason there were gozer. So what part of the process does a Jew need to see? What part of the process does a Jew need to see? If the whole problem with cheese is that there might be treif milk in there, the Jew's going to need to see starting when? Starting the milking. He's going to need to see the entire thing, starting from the milking. Because the whole concern is he might have stuck in treif milk. If you want to make it okay, you need to make sure he didn't stick in treif milk. How do you make sure he didn't stick in treif milk? Watch him milk the cow, take that milk, and make cheese out of it. And then you'll be okay. I'm assuming right now, like the Shitas Rama, that watching helps. That just a Jew watching it is gonna help. We'll get to that machlokas later. Whether a Jew, we know a Jew watching for chalav akum helps. We're gonna get to that discussion whether a Jew watching the gvina akum is gonna help. But let's assume for the sake of argument that it will help. So what's he gonna have to see? He's gonna have to see the whole thing. But if the Jew did not see the chaliva, even though he saw when it was turned into cheese, or even if the Jew himself made the cheese. Say a guy melted and a Jew made the cheese. According to this understanding, Shitas Rashi, there should still be a problem. If you assume like Rabbi Chanina, that we're concerned about little pockets of milk, there's still going to be a problem even if a Jew made the cheese. Because there still might have been the milk supply from which he made the cheese might have been contaminated with pig milk, and that pig milk might still be in there somewhere. It's stuck in some little hole, some little pocket, somewhere in the cheese. That's what's mavur from the Gruz understanding of Rashi, from the Pashut understanding of Rashi, the way he understands Rabbi Chanina's opinion. That's what it would turn out. Now, let me just take it one step further. Let's try to plug that into the Ramah. Will that fit with the Ramah? So, when the Ramah writes in Sif Aleph that a chalav shalakum, chalav of a guy that was already usser, it's not going to help to make it into cheese. That's exactly Rabbi Chanina, the way Rashi understands it. Once it's already chalav of a guy, it's aser, because you have to worry that it's contaminated with pig milk. Yeah, you can make it into cheese, but there still might be pockets of pig milk in there, and that's going to be a problem. The problem is that this does not fit the Ramah in Si'if Beis. The Ramah in Si'if Beis says that if the akum, if the guy the whole time wanted to make cheese out of it in the first place, and the Jew didn't see the chaliva, that's okay b'di'evet. That seems to be against the Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Chanina. And in fact, the Gra, in the Biur Gra, on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, says that Raman Sif Beis has to be against Rashi. It says, L'pirush Rashi, ein l'hakel klal bazeh. There's no room for a kula if a Jew didn't see the milking according to Rashi. For some reason, the Achronim understand that Rashi's paskening like that reason also. And not just that he's explaining it, not Rashi in general doesn't paskin, he just explains line after line, but a lot of the Achronim seem to assume that, I guess, Rashi, since he goes to such great lengths to explain the reason of Tzichtzuch Echalav, or maybe they have some other raya, they hold that Rashi paskins like the reason of Rabbi Chanina, that it's E.F. Shabbalot Tzichtzuch Echalav. Yeah.
And it makes sense that Rashi's holding this because he keeps reiterating it. Or here on
right, so that might be the deal. Right, that might be the deal of where they get that from. Now, is there any way that Rashi can be moda to what the Ramah paskins, in Sif Beis? The only way is to say that maybe Rashi doesn't paskin like Rabbi Chanina. That Rashi explains within the sheet of Rabbi Chanina, we're concerned that there might be pockets of milk. Maybe Rashi doesn't paskin like Rabbi Chanina, rather Rashi paskins like the shita that holds that butter of a guy is mutter, which is like all the other Amoraim who disagree with Rabbi Chanina that say we're not worried about any pockets of milk anywhere, and therefore it means Rashi doesn't hold like the second teretz on Amud Beis, that when you buy milk from a guy in order to make cheese, that's still a problem. Rashi would say, maybe Rashi would not paskin like that, would say it's not a problem. And therefore, milk that the guy milked in order to make cheese is not going to be asur mishum gvinas akum, because the any time it's meant to make cheese, the guy is not an idiot. He's not going to use treif milk to try to make cheese. And therefore, as long as the Jew saw the cheese making process, even though he didn't see the milk making process, it would be mutter. The problem with saying that pshat is, of course, if Rashi doesn't pass like Rabbi Chanina, that fits great with the Ramah in Sif Beis. What's the problem? It's against the Ramah in Sif Aleph. Right? So that stir in the Ramah presents a real problem for Rashi. Rashi's going to have to, if he passes like Rabbi Chanina, Sif Beis is a problem, and Sif Aleph is great. If he doesn't pass like Rabbi Chanina, Sif Beis is great, Sif Aleph is a problem.
Again, the Pilech Atchila, we want other Rabbi Chanina.
Good, good. So that might be. That might be, yeah.
I mean, why can't, like, Rama and Sif Aleph be the ideal? And Sif Beis, you said, it was talking about where the guy originally does it to make cheese. So, like we said, like, he's not stupid enough to... He's going to make cheese.
So, based on whose word he did it to make cheese? Because he told you he did it to make cheese?
I don't know. You said that. I don't know. I didn't see that.
So what's pshat? Is it that he has a cheese company?
So the guy did, you know, milk the milk on the nas to make cheese. So what is that?
Right. That is the lashon of the Rama. And that's pshat. The Shach points out that's probably where the chiluk stems from. But let's try to get to the depths of that. Okay? So... So that is, Rashi doesn't seem to fit with Rama. Rashi doesn't make that chilek, at least, right? In terms of what the guy was doing before, Rashi's always concerned. He's always concerned that any milk that was made by a guy is going to be laced with chalav tameh. Tosfos has a totally different understanding of the whole sugya. Tosfos in Lamed Hamad Aleph, Dibra Maskalafi. So Tosfos says, wait a second. The Gemara gave answer number one because of Nikur, because there might be venom in there. And the Gemara said, if that's the case, old cheese and dry cheese should all be mutter. And then the Gemara goes right on to the second answer. Well, what do you do about the old cheese and the dry cheese problem? So, Tos says, according to the way Rashi's saying it, that the answer number two, of E.F. Shablotzich Tzuchei Chalav, is a brand new idea and a brand new answer. What the Gemara must be doing is rejecting answer number one, and therefore going on to a new answer. Now, whenever the Gemara says one thing and then rejects it because it has a kasha and suggests something else instead, there's always a key word you find in the Gemara. Right? Gemara methodology 101. What do you find? You always have Ella, Amar so and so. It can't be that way. Ella, instead, I'll tell you this. To replace the answer you gave before, I'll give you a new answer. When it's just several answers, but we didn't reject the previous answer, you don't need an Ella. You can just say Amar, Amar, Amar. It's fine. Right? But when you're rejecting a previous answer and replacing it with a new one, you should say the word Ella. According to Rashi, the word Ella is missing from our Gemara. That's Tosa's first kasha. Second kasha, Tosa asks, on Rashi, what is the guy, an idiot? He's going to make, Tosa's words, not mine, is he going to make cheese out of chalav tameh? I mean, he should be out of the cheese business if he's making cheese out of chalav tameh. Although Charlie just told me that he did some research on the cheese making, and there is a place in Sweden that makes buffalo cheese?
Moose cheese.
Cheese out of moose milk. So the Rishonim deal with that problem, that the Gemara assumes that you can't make cheese out of non-kosher milk, and you can. So that's the Rishon Ritva, I think, already points out, means it's really not easy to make cheese out of non-kosher milk, and that's why you got to find one Meshuggah in Switzerland who's making moose cheese. But you're not going to find, you know.
I can't just be the animals.
They didn't have mooses in the Middle East.
The apples and the mooses.
Right, okay, maybe, I don't know. There could be other reasons as well. I don't want to get into the whole science against the Gemara issue. Yeah. No matter what you say on science against the Gemara, you're an apikoros according to somebody. So I don't want to be an apikoros. So I just ignore it. So the Tosa says. So I have a different pshat. Tosa says, who says that answers one and two are really two different answers? Maybe it's really one big answer that the Gemara is saying. What's the reason for Gevina? So how come the Gemara says because there's going to be a pocket of milk? Gemara says because of Nikur, because there's going to be venom in there. The Gemara says, aye, but then when it dries out or when it ages, it should be mutter, because when it dries and it ages, where's the venom going to go? It's not going to have any moisture to attach itself to. So the Gemara says, no, it still will have moisture to attach itself to, because even when it dries and ages, ef shablot tzich tzuchei chalav, there's still some pockets of chalav. What kind of chalav? Who cares? Chalav tahar, it could be cow milk. Problem isn't the chalav, the problem is the venom that's attaching itself to the chalav. So it's still the first answer of the Gemara. The Gemara is not giving a second answer. That's the way Tosos understands it.
The way of the cow milk? Is that what it's attaching to?
The what?
Sticking with the way?
Whatever the pocket of chalav is. Right. So that is how Tosos understands it. Now, that's great for Lamed Hamad Aleph. You flip over to Lamed Hamad Beis, and there are two explanations in the Gemara about chalav akum. One is that chalav akum is not going to be a problem if you can make cheese out of it, because don't worry, it's never gonna curdle. right? If it's non-kosher milk. So if it curdles, you know it's kosher milk. That's great, according to Tosfos. Because Tosfos says you'd have to be a moron to make cheese out of non-kosher milk. So obviously, if you're buying milk and you're going to make cheese out of it, that will show, that will prove beyond any doubt that what you have is kosher milk. That what you had is kosher milk the whole time. What does Tosfos do with the second answer on Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, maybe you really are buying the milk in order to make cheese out of it. That is really your kavana. You want to make cheese out of the milk, and it's still a problem because there are pockets of treif milk. According to Tosfos' reading of the Gemara Naman Aleph, nobody says there are pockets of treif milk. There are pockets of kosher milk that venom will attach itself to, but no one was choshesh that when you make cheese, that you have to worry that there might be treif milk in there, that there are going to be pockets of treif milk. So Tosfos himself deals with this, and this is Tosfos we saw last week. Tosfos on Amud Beis, Legvina, he says, Pirish lika chalav mina ovid kochavim la'asos gvina. She said very simply, if the guy knows what it's being used for, and he knows that it's being used for cheese when he's milking it, so he's obviously not going to stick any pig milk in there. Because he knows that pig milk won't make cheese. But if the guy thinks that you're just buying it for milk, and you on your own decide, after you buy it for milk, that you're going to use it for cheese, right? So if that's your own personal decision, so you don't know what the guy definitely could have then contaminated your milk supply, and that's where we're choshesh that there are going to be pockets of milk. Typically, if a guy milks something and he knows what's going on in terms of the milking and the cheese making, he's not going to give you milk that's laced with chalav tameh. He just won't do it. But if he thinks you're just going to use it as milk, then he'll put chalav tameh into it. And when you subsequently make it into cheese, the chalav tameh will sort of get stuck in the cracks, and you won't even notice it. That's how Tosfos understands. So according to Tosfos, even according to Rabbi Chanina, any chalav that you make cheese out of, we're not choshesh that it was nesarev bo chalav tameh, right? Any chalav that a guy is making cheese out of, we don't have to worry that it's nesarev bo chalav tameh. According to Tosfos, the Ramah works out great. Why? According to Tosfos, what does Rama say? The Rama in Sefal says that if you milk the cow stam, and it becomes aser mitam milk, mitam chashash of chalav tameh, and then you, the Jew, go ahead and take that milk and say, I'll make cheese out of it, so I'll save it. But what are you still worried about? The guy didn't know you were going to make cheese out of it when he milked it, and therefore what might the guy have done? He might have put tameh milk into it. The Ramah comes along and Sif Beis and says, you're watching a guy make cheese. And you didn't see the guy milk the cow, you only see him making the cheese. Now this is no longer talking about a case where the guy sold you milk and said, I don't know what you're going to do with it, here's your milk, and he probably assumed you were going to drink it or, you know, put it in your cereal in the morning. This is talking about a case where a guy was making the cheese. Tosa says, well, if a guy is making the cheese, he's not an idiot. He's definitely using only kosher milk to make cheese, because that's the only kosher milk, that's the only milk that works, and therefore, b'di'evit, you can be someich, even if you don't see the chaliva. And that way, the Ramah works out according to Tosfos. What's the only problem? What word is extra in the Ramah? Yeah, b'di'evit is the extra word.
Also, what about, doesn't the Ramah say in Aleph that it doesn't help to make cheese or butter out of it? Is that saying you're making the cheese or she's making the cheese?
When you're making the cheese. Yeah, if you look, it's meduyik in the Lashon Ramah. The problem is the Lashon B'di'evet. B'di'evet
is just not passing like the second answer.
Ah, good. So what you have to say is that, or maybe like similarly, that you could say that L'chadchila, the Ramah was choshesh for Shitas Rashi, Ali B'di Rabbi Chanina. And therefore, B'di'evet, he was Somech on Tosfos. Meaning Rashi would say it doesn't help. If you don't see the milking, then, you know, there are always pockets in every cheese, there are always pockets, and you never know what kind of chalav tameh could go in there. And Rashi didn't say the guy is not an idiot. Rashi assumes they are idiots, and they will put in chalav tameh even in cheese making. So it could be that Ramah l'chadchila wanted to be choshesh for shitas Rashi, but the Eved, he says, we really pass on like Tosfos. That's one way to understand it. Now, by the way, just as Derech Agav, Rav Moshe in Yerodeh Chel Gimel Simin Yud Zayin is mechadesh that even Rashi would only argue on Tosfos when it's cheese that the guy makes for his own household, for his own benefit, for himself. Then you're choshesh that he milked the cow for achila, and he mixed in a chalav tameh afterwards, and he says, I'll make cheese anyway with it, even though I mixed in chalav tameh. But if it's a company that's making cheese, that's producing cheese, that's stupid, he's not. Meaning, how does Rashi answer Tosfos Kasha? What's the guy, an idiot? How does Rashi answer that? So Rashi will say, he's not an idiot, but he wants cheese. He realizes he mixed his cow milk with pig milk. It's still going to be able to make him some cheese. It's not the smartest way to make cheese because he just wasted the pig milk. But he's in the mood for cheese now, and that's the milk he's got. So he'll make cheese out of that. That's how Rav Moshe understands how Rashi would answer for Tosos. But if you're dealing with a guy who all he does, he's got a farm where all he does is he makes cheese, so then Rashi would say, Inachinami, he's not an idiot. He's not going to mix in pig milk, and it's obviously all going to be cow milk. Then Rashi would agree with Tosfos. Yeah?
My Tosfos logic is that since he's making cheese, that therefore he won't put in pig milk because it won't harden or whatever. But it makes sense because we're saying the Gemara that there always are tzuchei chalak, so why not have it?
According to Tosfos?
According to the Gemara.
The Tosos reads that line of the Gemara. It says tzuchei chalav means.
But it's still always there.
It just means there's. Yeah, but that's not that there are pockets where other stuff that didn't curdle escapes to, but that the whey somehow is it. Mean the whey of the kosher milk is still in there. Yeah, from below tzuchei chalav, and that gives it enough moisture for the venom to attach itself to.
Yeah, if they're going making cheese, like he knows there always is some milk inside, so I want to add some pig milk because no matter what, there always will be.
Because it's not something you want. That as a byproduct, there's always a little bit of whey that you can't get rid of that's going to be stuck in there.
You don't want to add more to it. Basically.
Right.
Can we read Rav Moshe last week that discusses Israel, who's Hashat Hesed, that he might be a problem also because similar reason he's not, you know, he said the reason for a guy is that you don't believe him, he might try to mess you up by adding in tamay milk. So how that fits this Tosos? He's not idiot because any financial gain. He wants to mess up a Jew by causing him to do an Israel. Why? How that?
And therefore, by non from Jew.
Why is he stupid enough to add? He definitely wants to add in milk with the cheese.
I mean, you're saying Tosos, well. But if he wants to sell you cheese, he's going to want to sell you good cheese. And if the cheese is wet and gross, he's not going to. Yeah, I think it takes away from the quality of the cheese if you have these pockets of milk. Now, so far we said Rashi Tosos based on how the Gra in Sifkat Yud Zayin understands Rabbi Chanina lining up with the first daya in the Gemara on Lamed Hem Beis that against the Ibai Yisema where the Ibai Yisema had said that even if you plan on making cheese out of it, still the Chalavakum is going to be Asir. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I didn't put it in the Marmakomas. It's a really long one. It's a little intimidating, but he has one basic chiddush that I want to share with you. Rav Moshe in Yerodeh Chelgal of Simin Memtes has a tshuva where he says that really we paskin like Rashi and Rabbi Chanina. What's Rashi and Rabbi Chanina? That EF Shabalot Tzuchei Chalav, whenever you make cheese, you always have to be choshesh, that there are pockets of pig milk in your cheese. What do we say the problem with that is? That the Rama tells us that b'diavad, you don't really have to worry about it if you didn't see the Chaliva. What do you mean you don't have to worry about it? I thought when you make cheese, you always have to worry about pockets of pig milk in your cheese. So shouldn't you have to see the Chaliva? So Rav Moshe says as follows. He says that even the Amoraim that argue on Rabbi Chanina can hold like the Ibai Yisema in the Gemara Lamed Hem Beis. Even the guys who are not worried by Gvina Sakum that there's pockets of pig milk will hold in Lamed Hem Beis when you buy milk from a non-Jew and you make the cheese out of it that you are choshesh for pockets of pig milk. And Rav Moshe's chiddush is one very simple chiddush, and that is that chalav tameh, the gzeira of chalav akum, the gzeira that you have to be choshesh that it's chalav tameh when you get chalav from a guy, is only when you buy a liquid a white liquid that's milk from a guy. It's not when you buy milk products, dairy products. It's when you buy liquid milk from a guy. However, so long as the chalav is still in the guy's possession, it's not yet subsumed under the gzeira of chalav akum. Therefore, when the guy makes the cheese before you ever see it, that's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Chanina, since there's chalav in the gumos, in the holes of the cheese, you still have an issue of chalav tameh. Because when you buy the cheese, what are you buying? Cheese with pockets of white liquid, with pockets of milk. That's a problem. Those pockets are a problem. The other Amoraim that disagree with Rabbi Chanina, that aren't worried about gumos, what are you buying from the guy? You're not buying milk, you're buying cheese. There is no milk that you're buying from the guy. Mela, there's not going to be a problem of a chashash chalav tameh. What is the chashash? So you got to give the other five answers. Right? The imam in Bar Kevis Nevela, whatever else. But it's not a problem of chalav tameh. That's what Moshe understands. And he says, based on that, we understand the Ramah very well. Because the Ramah writes that if a Jew saw the cheese-making process, but who was making the cheese? It was a guy making the cheese. When did the Jew buy it? Only after the guy already made the cheese? So, but yeah, but that's mutter. But if a Jew himself bought the challah from a guy, at the time that he bought it, it was already a chal, a shame challah vakum, and therefore it doesn't matter what the Jew does to that milk afterwards, the isur challah vakum doesn't go away. Basically, what Rav Moshe is saying is, one might have thought that as soon as a guy squeezes the udder and gets milk out of the cow, that's when you have a shame challah vakum. Rav Moshe says that's not true. The isur of challah vakum is chal when it comes into a Jew's possession. Prior to that, there's no shame isur at all of challah vakum. It's a lamda shavart, right? That the shame isur only comes in not when the chefza comes into the world, but when it transfers into the Jew's possession, into the Jew's property. That's where the shame isur first comes. So mela, if you're going to buy milk from a guy, you already have a shame isur. What you're holding is a chefza shel isur. You could cook it and turn it and do whatever you want to it. It's still isur. But if you buy cheese from a guy, and you hold like those shitos that there is no such thing as pockets in cheese, then there's no challah vakum problem when you bought cheese from the guy. Right? What problem do you have? You may have other problems, but it's not a challah vakum problem. Therefore, if you saw the guy turning it into cheese, you didn't see his milking, but when by the time it comes into your possession, it's already cheese, and you saw him making it into cheese. So you don't have to worry about him shmirin and chazer shmalz. So you don't have to worry about arkevas nevela. You have nothing else to worry about other than the source of the chalav. Well, guess what? If by the time you buy it, there's no pockets of chalav, it's all mutter. Why does Rama say it's only mutter b'diavad? Because the chachil is choshish for shitas Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says that there are going to be pockets of chalav in the milk. So that's Rav Moshe's approach to the whole sugya. Okay, that's what I wanted to just play out with you in terms of the two deos. Now let's get into a little bit more of the practical halacha lemaisa. So now we have six approaches as to what the isser is of challah vakum, and we started to go through yesterday how the Rishonim paskin. So we saw Tosfos in Lamed Hamad Aleph quotes Rabbeinu Tam at the bottom of Lamed Hamad Aleph, where Rabbeinu Tam says the only real reason has to be the reason of Giloy, that there's going to be venom inside of the cheese, and he explains one after the other why it can't be any of the other reasons. The last two are disqualified because they're rejected by the Gemara. We always pass on Shmuel ben Levi against Shmuel, so Shmuel's out. And this is the earlier Rav Adabarava, so we wouldn't paskin like Rav Adabarava, because we paskin Hilchsa Kibasra, and this isn't the Basra'a Rav Adabarava, the one who says that we're machlikin b'shom and chazir. Good, and that leaves the reason of Nikur, and it's definitely not a Davar Shebeminyan, Tosa says. I know it's not a Davar Shebeminyan, because this Gezerah never applied to places that didn't have snakes roaming around all over the place. So Tosa's very clearly, Rabbeinu Tam held that Chalav Akum is... that Gvinas Akum is only because of the venom that might be in it, and Therefore, Rabbi Natan seems to be saying, Bizman Azeh, there's simply no problem with Bina Sakum. We pointed out yesterday that the Beis Yosef was Medayek. No, not that Rabbi Natan is rejecting Gvina Sakum, but rather Rabbi Natan says, Lo Matzinu Tam Pashut L'Isser B'Gvina Salvin Chavim. That we don't find a simple explanation of the Isser, but that Itaka is Usser. He just doesn't understand why. There's a big difference. We've pointed out a big difference between saying, I have a Kasha, and saying what everyone else is telling me is wrong, right? I've mentioned to you in the past, when Rav Shachter says he doesn't drink milk because it comes from the trefus, I asked him, is that a psak? He said, no, I have a kasha. I can't bring myself to drink it so long as I have this kasha. But it's a kasha. It's not a psak halacha. Right? There's a big difference. We had in today's daf. I just said this over in today's daf for some. Oh, yeah. And the Gemara said in today's daf, in the beginning of Maseches Makos, that Rav Lazar was saying something over, and he didn't attribute the statement to Rabbi Yochanan. And the next time Reish Lakish was with Rav Lazar, Rav Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan at the same time, Rabbi Yochanan said the same exact words that Rav Lazar had said on a different occasion. So Reish Lakish looks at Rav Lazar and says, you just plagiarized everything you said. I see that you got it from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is using the exact same phrasing. That can't be a coincidence. Right? It has to come from him. So the Achronim ask, the obvious question, the Rishonim ask, the Ritva already asks, Rabbi Lazar was a good guy. Why would he do that? It's not nice. Shouldn't you try to bring Gula Leolam? Always try to quote B'Shei Mamre? Always try to quote who you're saying from? So I realize I'm getting a little off topic here, but just a quick vart. So the Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara says that what was the case over there? A woman brought Edom to court. Her Edom were liars. So she said, oh, that didn't work. She brought another set of Edom. Those guys were liars too. Okay, that didn't work. She brings a third set of Edom. So Reish Lakish says, okay, as far as we know, these guys aren't liars. And that's when Reb Lazar says, I'm sorry, Reish Lakish says, the first two were liars. These guys are definitely liars too. I mean, I'm not going to trust anything this woman brings. She brought two sets of Edom, they're all liars. She's huchzak, that she's a chazaka. She only brings lying Edom to court. So Reb Lazar says, oh, just because she's muchzak, that she's a shakran, Kol Yisrael is going to be muchzak, that they're shakranim also. And that's the line that Reb Lazar plagiarized from Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Paras Yosef, the reason Reb Lazar didn't attribute it to Rabbi Yochanan is because he didn't think it was a psak. He thought it was a kasha. And when he said, just because she's a liar, does that mean Kol Yisrael are liars? He meant to say, it's a kasha. It's a kasha. I don't understand why we're going to declare these guys as liars, because wouldn't that logically lead to saying Kol Yisrael is liars? But a kasha, not a psak. You have to be Omer Dov B'Shem Amar when you're saying a psak, when you're saying a Dvar Halacha. But you're saying something that's just stam, a kasha. So then it's maybe not so important to say Dov B'Shem Amar. It reminded me a lot of this Tosfos, that Diuk of the Beis Yosef from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is not saying a psak. He's just saying a kasha. I don't understand what the problem with Venus Akum is. Then we saw Beis Yosef quotes the smack that the Rabbeinu Tam is correct, that the issue is one of Giloy, but nevertheless, we're still going to be machmir nowadays, because, and the smak's explanation is because there are all these other reasons. So it's not like mayim agulim where we're going to be mekel nowadays. Since there are all these other reasons, we're still going to be machmir. Then the Beis Yosef quoted the Rashba that the reason is because of giloy, but it's a davar shebiminyan. And whenever it's davar shemminyan, we can't undo the gzeira, even when the reason doesn't apply anymore. Good. And that leaves us with the Rambam. So if you look at the Rambam, in source number 9, so it says the Rambam, Gvina shemamidin osa akum basavim obame peros. Let's say he uses lemon juice to curdle his milk, which you can do, right? Me peros. Or he uses asavim, he uses some sort of plant. Kigon sraf hateinim, like the sap from a fig tree. Varein nikarn begvina, and it's recognizable in the cheese. Horu miktsas agonim shiasura shekvar gozra al gvinas ha'akum. Bein shemidu b'davar aser, bein shemidu b'davar muta, gzerim mishum shemamidin osa b'davar aser. So which reason of the six reasons is the Rambam paskin like? Very clearly, he paskins like reason number 3, that it's because we're afraid that he was mamid be'or kevas nevela. And then the Rambam says, but the Gaon and Paskin, even if you know for sure that he didn't use or kevas nevela, that he used just plant rennet, still it's aser. Why? Davar shebeminyan. That's what he quotes from the Gaonim. A chiddush from the Gaonim. It's a very unusual Rambam. The Rambam quotes Gaonim. The only people he quotes are the Gaonim throughout Mishneh Torah. He does quote the Gaonim on several occasions. I don't know all of Mishneh Torah, but I don't recall another place in Mishneh Torah where the Rambam quotes with such a lashon, horu mitzas ha-gaonim, and he does not proceed to argue on those mitzas ha-gaonim, or at least point out that there are other gaonim that argue. The Rambam quotes this without any bar plukta. He just says horu mitzas ha-gaonim, that it's still going to be yasser, it's a davar shebeminyan, it's yasser across the board. If you know of other examples where the Rambam does this, I'd be interested to know, but the Kesef Mishnah thought it was important enough to point out that the Rambam must agree with this because he doesn't quote anyone who argues. What's the Kesef Mishnah bothered by? He starts out with the phrase "Horu mitzvah zagonim," which makes it sound like, okay, now he's going to attack, and then he just lays off. So it's almost like a steer within the Rambam. Kesef Mishnah says, okay, the fact that he laid off, that he didn't say anything, must be that he agrees with those gaonim. The Magid Mishnah, in explaining the Rambam, starts bringing in all these other things that seem totally unrelated to the Rambam. The Rambam's psak is very clear. The reason that Kavina Sakum is Asr is because they're mamadit with Arkevas Nevela. So says the Magen Mishnah, the Gaonim Asr, even when the Tam doesn't apply, because it's Davar Shebeminyan. And that's why, even when they don't use Chalav Tameh, and they don't mix non-kosher milk in the cheese, because they don't milk anything non-kosher, it's still going to be Asr. And even if they don't use Shuman Chazir, they don't use Chazer Schmaltz to shine up their cheese, and why don't they use Chazer Schmaltz? Because it's usher for them to eat. Because they have times of the year in their religion where they're not allowed to eat animal products, and all they eat is cheese. So they wouldn't use Chazer Schmaltz. It's still going to be usher. What's he doing? According to the Rambam, that's irrelevant. Those are the other reasons. The reason that there might be Tzuchtzuch Echalav, the reason that they're going to be Machlik and Bishum and Chazir, that's not the Rambam Shita. The Rambam doesn't care about that. The Rambam was worried about Mohammed Bar Kevas Nevela. So what does he have to address? Yeah, even if all those other reasons don't apply. Of course, if all those other reasons don't apply, it's still going to be Asr. Those reasons aren't what we paskin like. And Lecha Mishnah is bothered by this. So what's the Magid Mishnah doing? He doesn't understand. Kosev Rava Magid, says the Lecha Mishnah, source 12. Kosev Rava Magid, Shekol Davar Shenasar Min Yuchulei, Vim Tomer Lomlei Hach Taima. Typically, the adayin is batal atam digazrinon sheyamidum b'davar iser. Why don't we just say very simply that we're still gozer, that maybe you're maimid b'davar aser? V'yeshlomer demikal makom lo gazru keinol b'zmana hu sheyamidun osa b'davar aser. Al b'zmana zeh she'in b'makom ahu mi sheyam b'davar iser sheyadua shemalsam chalav tamei mikal makom kim shenasur minin tzorek minin hakalatir. He's actually asking a different thing. I got confused. He's just asking, why do you even need to come on to the Davar Shebeminyan? Just say it's because of the gzeira of Shemi Yamid b'kevas nevela. That's what he's really saying. I just got confused there for a second. Okay. Nafkamina might be cottage cheese. Soft cheeses. Right? By soft cheeses, there's no hamada b'davar anything. You don't need rennet to make soft cheeses. To make cottage cheese, you just let it sit with a certain amount of heat and a certain amount of drying, whatever. You let it get old and, you know, leave milk over for a while. It will become cottage cheese, right? Okay. Don't give up on it so quickly. You can still save it for cottage cheese. So since there's no need for rennet when it comes to cottage cheese, so this is a major nafkamina between the different reasons, right? If the Rambam's pasking strongly that the only iser is that you can be ma'amid ba'or kevas nevela, well then, cottage cheese l'chora should be totally mutter. Because there's no, couldn't have been a gezeira on cottage cheese. They didn't use any kevas anything. They didn't use any rennet for cottage cheese. So, or cream cheese or anything like that, any of the soft cheeses. Yogurt. Right, so all those things l'chora should be mutter. But if you're still going to worry, like the Magen Mishnah says, well, I'm still worried about this reason and that reason, you're still worried about the tarovus of Chalav Tameh and all the other things. So that applies even to the soft cheeses also, the Chora. You still have to be worried about all the other concerns. Probably not Machlikim Shum Chazir, but about all the other concerns. So there's a man in my shul And my shul is about 55 guys who are between the ages of 25 and 35, and one man who's 80. So the 80 year old man fought in the Korean War, and he said that before he went to Korea, he asked his Rabbi Kanatopsky, Zichrono Levracha, who's a major Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. He died at a pretty young age, but he was a very prominent Rav. He was the founding rabbi of the Yisrael West Hempstead. Rabbi Kanatopsky. His fantastic drushas. They printed his drushas on the Moadim. Beautiful, beautiful drushas. I've lifted many drushas straight out of that sefer. I was once called on it. I mean, I said it, I quoted it in his name, so it wasn't so bad. But I try to be mocked to do. But anyway, he said he asked Rabbi Kanatopsky what he can eat. And Rabbi Kanatopsky told him that Rav Soloveitchik said that he can eat cottage cheese. He can eat any of the soft cheeses that they have there. He doesn't have to worry about it. So the guy asked me, I guess 5 years ago when I started the shul, he said, I've been wondering for the last 50 years. Well, what's that based on? And the truth is, I had no idea. I said, I don't know. I guess the Rav wasn't so frum. I don't know. What do you tell you? I have no idea. Now I understand it a little bit better. Right? Rav Moshe has this incredible tshuva where he talks about soft cheese. And Rav Moshe makes a very cogent argument. He says, if the whole reason is because of Shemayam Barkevas Nevela, and that's how the Rambam paskins, and even though we said yesterday the Torah quotes three different reasons, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, if you look in source number 13, Shulchan Aruch only gives one reason. Gvinas of the Chavim Asru Mepnei Shema Midimosam Barkevas Shechitasam Shein Nevela. That's it! So the Rav Moshe says, very pashut. Therefore it turns out that that the soft cheese are going to be mutter, but not so pashut. Why is it not so pashut? Because the Rambam quoted these gaonim, these mitzvahs ha-gaonim, who said that I don't care if people don't use arkevas nevela. I don't care if they're using plant rennet. I don't care if they're using lemon juice. It doesn't make a difference. It's still aser. Because it's davar shem minyan. So what's the obvious chiluk between that and soft cheese?
In case where there is rennet in the first place, here there is no rennet at all.
Right. So that's what Moshe says. When you're making a hard cheese which requires rennet, so my gut reaction was to add 5 points. It's a kind of cheese that requires rennet. So that's the gzera that was low plug. But the gzera was never made on soft cheeses. So pashut was never made on soft cheeses. But then Rav Moshe says there's only one problem. They do put rennet in soft cheeses. In cream cheese, cottage cheese, all that stuff, they actually do use rennet nowadays. A very small amount of rennet. And Rav Moshe says, that doesn't bother me. He says, Va'af sha'omrim shagam b'gvina zu, the cutted cheese. Someone, he didn't get the name right. Right? He keeps on calling it cutted. Right? It's cottage cheese, I think. But okay, we'll forgive him. Nosin ma'at rennet, even though they put a little rennet in cottage cheese, hine af im neima sharennet hu davar aser. Even if you want a taina that rennet is davar aser, Rav Moshe was so careful with his words. When he says a phrase like that, he doesn't want to tell you what he's saying, but he's saying something profound. Af im neima sharennet hu davar aser. What are they using? They're using animal rennet, aren't they? Af im neima. So it could be that they dry the rennet to such an extent where they turn it into something yavesh, where it's totally inedible, where it loses its status as macholos asuros. So Rav Moshe throws that in there, afim neima, even if you get a taina, that rennet is aser, that animal rennet that they use bisman azeh in cheese production is aser, mistavar shein lach shiva maimid. It's still not a maimid. Why? Kivin dein lach vinashum toelos mizeh. Because the cheese doesn't need the rennet. If it doesn't need the rennet, why do they put the rennet in? It makes it quicker. When you own a company that's producing cottage cheese, you want to be able to produce a lot in a short amount of time. But the rennet doesn't add anything that could not have been gotten without the rennet. And not only that, the rennet itself couldn't do what the waiting and everything else is doing that of being maimed, the cheese, just by waiting and heating and all the rest and the cooking of it, which is needed to be done. The rennet alone would never do it, especially the tiny amount of rennet that they're putting in. D'lo meshubach tam agvina b'ma'at harennet, shenasu sham yoser mikfi shumamdu me'atzmam mitzad hazman v'achom. Now, the OU has a cheese expert. They have a guy who's they have like an expert in each field. So they have a cheese expert who read books on cheese. So he quoted in an essay that he wrote in one of the Kashrus journals from one of the books about cheese that says that the rennet actually does make it a little bit sweeter. Rav Moshe's Metzius may be a little bit wrong. It turns out, though, that it's a machlokas amongst the cheese experts. Whether the rennet actually enhances the cheese or just makes for speedier production. So Rav Moshe was assuming, like, the daya that holds, right, that it just makes for speedier production. You have this all the time in kashrus. They don't, like, the sherry casks, they use for schnapps, right? They age it in barrels that had wine in it. So there's a whole lumdish of art in terms of lumdish of machlokas, in terms of why do they use sherry casks? Is it to be no Saint Tom of the Yayin into your Glenmorangie 21-year-old? Is it because you want to have Tom Yayin in it? Or is it no? The Vart isn't that it's no Saint Tom Yayin. It's that it dulls and takes away the bitter Tom of the barrel by having sherry in the barrel before, so you don't get the bad Tom of the barrel. And it's a major machlokas amongst the experts in the field. So this is a major machlokas. Okay, fine. Says Rav Moshe Weiter, the fact that the rennet makes it faster isn't better for the cheese. It's better for what? For the mocher. It's better for the company. That doesn't ruin your cheese. That's not going to make the cheese not kosher. It just happens to be better for the company. And even besides that, he says, there's a concept in halacha called zevzagorin. That whenever you have two things that are causing a certain reaction, so neither one alone is going to be enough to aser, especially since the rennet, in the case of the cheese production, is the more minor of the two. Right? It's not the more major of the two. This tshuva, by the way, if you looked at who it's addressed to, you see that? Rav Shimon Schwab, right? Rav Schwab said to him, should I start yelling at all the people that eat soft cheeses without hashkacha? So Rav Moshe says, don't yell. There's a lot of reason to be mekel. He said, look, I myself would be machmer. And he goes, and he says, furthermore, he says that, he quotes the Arbir Agra, that about the machlokas about the butter, right? And that how that's telling the machlokas of Rabbi Chanin of the Tzuchtzuchei Chalav. So he says it could be that we have that shita to rely on. Plus, you have to be matir. You could be mekel, even if there is tzuchtzuchei chalav, you have the chalav companies kula that I have from before. And he goes through three or four snifim lahakel, plus only din drabanan. So he says, don't yell at people. He says, if people don't ask, so you can let them just do what they're doing, and it'll be okay. All right, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll finish up Kavina Sakum. I don't think I want to start past this week, so I'll just come up with enough to fill an hour with somehow. Okay. Okay. Okay.